final reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May God add his blessing to these readings. Thank you, worship team. Have a seat for a moment. John continues at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, as we pause just for a moment to reflect on your word, give us grace to hear, give us hearts to receive, and Lord, let the ancient words that we've heard read, those ever true words, transform us in this day and season. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you were to ask a group of church people what the most important thing about the Christian story is, they would probably come up with a variety of answers. My guess is the overwhelming percentage of them would probably go to Good Friday and Easter, Jesus' death and resurrection, the price for our forgiveness, the victory over death and sin and the devil and whatever else it was that needed to be defeated, you know, the Easter story. But I would argue with them that the Easter story does not have the power that it has for us without the Christmas story. And in particular, what John understands the point of the story is. And the point of the story is very simple. That God, the creator of the universe, became a human being and lived among us. That human being was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, son of Mary, if you prefer, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus, the one who will later walk on water and do amazing things with bread and fish and raise a dead person or two or three or four and heal a whole bunch of folks, that Jesus. And that the reason he does all of those things, or the reason he can do all of those things, is because he is the most unique being ever to walk this planet. That he is at the same time both fully a human being and God's own self. The Word, Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or made his dwelling among us, or as Eugene Peterson's The Message put it, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Well, that works too, to imagine. And here's the great thing about that, because we don't always think about this, and this is the right time to think about these things, that because God became incarnate, you know, the original name for Christmas was the Feast of the Incarnation. You go back before Constantine's time, that's what it was called. And that's the point, that God became incarnate in human form. And because of that, all Christian theology and behavior is incarnational. When I'm talking to and mentoring folks on preaching, one of the things I tell them is that here's your job. Your job is to read and study and absorb the Word of God so that the Word of God will be born in you, incarnate, if you will, in yourself, and then let us know what happened. What did you learn? What did you experience? What new insights did you have as that Word was being born in you? That sense of incarnation. When Christians go out to serve, whether we're feeding the hungry or clothing the naked or visiting in prisons or traveling across the street or around the world, we don't go because frankly, it is a good thing to do, but that's not why we go. We go because God dwells in us now. We have the Holy Spirit incarnate in us, and that God works through us, through our hands, our feet, our voices, our efforts, our whatever, that the incarnation continues to function in your life and mine. Now, Christmas is a fun story because it's got a baby in the middle of it, and it's got crazy shepherds and wise men, and you know, we have kings from Orient, Arkansas, and we have all kinds of crazy stuff going on later. And it's a really fun story. But oftentimes, and I've argued this many times, one of the biggest problems with the Christmas story is that it has a baby in the middle of it. Because once you put a baby in the middle of things, that's all anybody wants to talk about. And we don't always think about who this baby is and why this baby is. The angel tells Mary to name her son probably the most outrageous name ever given anyone in all of history. The angel says, you're going to name your child Yeshua. That's his name in Hebrew. And Yeshua literally translates, the Lord is my salvation. So the angel says, and go back and do the reading in Luke chapter 1. So you will name him, the Lord is my salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel's making a little play on words, a little play on Jesus' name there. We have 4 days till Christmas. 4 days to make space, to think and pray, and imagine this Word, this story, this Christ being incarnate in our lives. When all the Christmas carols and all the songs talk about being prepared to receive him, to prepare to have him celebrated in our midst and in our presence and in ourselves, that's really what they're talking about. That we would make time to humbly come to the church website, the church Facebook page this week announced that that is in fact the world's first king size bed.
Yes.
The manger. A bed fit for a king, or at least the King of Kings. That we would make space in the next few days to say, okay, Jesus, be incarnate in me. Come, Holy Spirit, and take fresh and new residence in me, that I might see the world through your eyes and might be a part of this great salvation thing that you are working among us. So that's my challenge to you. Make space for that. Will you? Smile and nod, if you will. The rest of you can just frown at me like you usually do. That'll be fine. You don't. I know. We'll be fine. We're gonna close our time with one more song. So we're sort of you get an abbreviated message today because, we're hoping folks will come or stay and see the Kings of Orient are. It's a great telling of the Christmas story in a very different way, which is, I think, fun. So we try to do that. So let's